Right, this is Wednesday evening, 3/9/22. The title is called Inconsistency Lies the Power. This was a quote by Gloria Copeland. I'll get to that further down in the teaching, but anyway. All right, Jesus, when he was here, he had to resist the devil. Right? He had to resist the devil. All right. And since we are made in his likeness and image, we have to do the same thing. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Okay, Luke chapter 4. We'll see how Jesus resisted the devil, or one of the times. I'm sure there are many times he resisted the devil that we don't know about. All right, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." Well, it said he was tempted for 40 days, so I guess every day there was a new test, every day. But I guess it's just this one time. That's what the Scripture tells us. "And the devil said unto him, Thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." Maybe it took 40 days for him to do all this. I don't know. "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about." All right, 2 points here. Jesus used the Scriptures to resist the devil. And then when he came out of the wilderness, he was full of power. So remember those two key things. Using the Word, full of power. Okay? All right, key to the power is resisting the devil. Key to resisting is consistency. It's not hit and miss. You know, if you observe anybody in any profession, whether it be an athlete or whatever, they have to be consistent and stay with it because they're after the goal, you know, after the Olympic medal or whatever the case may be. They have to be consistent. You can't just hit and miss it and be a good athlete. You can't hit and miss it and be good at anything. Just think about it. All right, James 4. I know this, you can't dabble in golf and be a good golfer, can you?
You can't do it all the time.
Yeah. All right, James 4, 7 and 8. Well, really, 6 is good too. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I will look at that a little fuller a little bit later. Anyway, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So those that hit and miss it, faith, are double-minded. Those that hit the word, that resist the devil, it says you're drawing nigh to God when you do that, when you use his word, his weapons, You draw nigh to God, and that's where the power comes in. And if you don't, well, you're not going to be any good out of it. Good at it. Just like you won't be a good golfer, you won't be a good athlete or anything else in life if you're not consistent at it. Okay, let's keep going here. And the Strong's resist here means to stand against or to oppose. Why did Jesus come? He came to overthrow the works of the evil one. I mean, even Peter, when Peter was saying, "No, Lord, you're not going to go to the cross." And what did Peter say? You know, what did Jesus do? "Get thee hence, Satan. You're an offense to me. You don't savor the things of God. You savor the things of men." See, he couldn't let that slip by. You know why? Because if he let it slip once, then he might let it slip again. And before you know it, there was another time when they tried to come and force him to be king, raise him up, and he had to get out of there as fast as he could. Because he knew that was not God's will. He didn't come to be crowned as a king. He came to give his life as ransom for us. Okay, double-minded would be the opposite of resisting or opposing or being consistent. The devil uses mind games to trick you off of your stand. He does all he can do to get you to stop using your spiritual weapons. He will use anything to get you off of the word. You know why? It's the only thing can whip him. Pills and shots and surgeries and all these things, they may help a little bit, but do they really give you any power for anything? You know, the thing about that gets me about the medical field, and I know someone that's had a surgery, and now it's failed. So they're facing to have to do it again. It'd be different if it was a cure-all, and there was never anything else you had to do again. But usually with medicine and those kind of things, it's not usually the case. There's always some repercussion. Just like I had someone tell me, yeah, they take a part out, then you have other problems because they took that part out and you have to take medication to keep yourself normal because they took that part out that your body needed. It's the keep you coming, you know, keep you coming. Yeah, all right. All right, he uses mind games. This is double-mindedness. This is what happens when we listen to the enemy. And instead of using God's word, we listen to him. That's double-mindedness. All right, Elijah told the prophets of Baal. This is 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If it be Baal, follow him." All right, let's look at 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." When is the due time? It's, man, when you're under fire and you're needing some help. That's due time. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Whom resist. Resist, stand against and oppose. "Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Yeah. Can you see here inconsistency lies your power? If you can keep your stance, you will win. Ephesians 6 is a prime example of that. There's a little You see it from time to time in advertising, books, magazines. It's a little cat, and it's talking about it's a little cat hanging on with its tail or something. It's like, you know, you're hanging on by the end of your rope. Well, the stand of faith is the stand, like you've, Danny had, that outlasts the devil. Faith is the stand that outlasts the devil. And so what I see in the stand of faith is just tie a knot in that rope and hold on. Hold on. All right, Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How are we going to get His might? How are we going to get that power like Jesus had when He came out of the temptation in the wilderness? How are we going to get that power? By standing strong in temptation. So He's saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is that what we're talking about here tonight? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So why in the world would we ever think that if a spiritual enemy that we cannot fight him and win against him unless we use spiritual weapons? But the whole world is doing it just the opposite. Those that should know better. They're trying to whip the devil with physical things. I hear it all the time on social media, people that are Christians. They're selling every kind of health aid you can imagine. If you think that the health industry, the other side of it, the holistic side of it, it's just the head of the same snake here. It's just the same system. It's a trickery to get you off your spiritual stance using your spiritual weapons. Nothing's going to whip the devil like God's weapons. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I wish the Lord said, well, if you've got a gun, you can use that against the devil. I wish it was that way. My devil would be full of holes, I'm telling you. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, do what? Stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What's truth? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. And having done all to stand. Stand. When it gets to the place where you're having to tie a knot in that rope to secure yourself, I remember Brother Hagin talking about somebody. I don't know if it was in his health food. It might have been in the other one, the faith food. It had to do with a Zeppelin. I think it was a Zeppelin or a blimp or whatever. And these sailors, the thing got cut loose, and these sailors were on the ropes, and so many fell to their death. But one of them, he was the one left up there, and he was up there for an hour or so, and they were all, oh, he's going to die, it's going to be horrible, all these things. But when they finally got him down, he said, no, I wasn't any problems. He said, I just tied the rope around my waist, and I just swung free. They're all thinking he's fixing to pivot to his death, and he's up there going, man, it's cool up here. Isn't that the same type of analogy? He just tied that rope around him and it secured him. All right, this is a mental stand. All right, 2 Corinthians 10. This is a scripture I say constantly. It's a reminder that what I experience, no physical thing is going to make a difference. All right. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it's the thoughts that come against your mind that tries to convince you to go the other way. It's like Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God is your God, then serve him. If Baal's your God, then serve him. All this back and forth. What does that accomplish? Shipwreck faith. That's what it accomplishes. Shipwreck. All right. Right here, carnal is pertaining to flesh, bodily, or temporal. Mental discipline is not to look at the flesh, but to stay focused on the Word of God. That's what he's saying here. It's a mental thing. You've got to mentally discipline your thinking processes to not go there. It's like the devil throws his line out with the bait on it, trying to get you to take the lure. Take anything to lure you in, lure you off of your stance. Okay, if you do this consistently, you will win. It's to stand and outlast the devil. Inconsistency lies your power. Sadly, the world we live in caters to the flesh in almost everything. God says he resists the proud. Now, this is James 4, 6, where I was looking at a while ago. The word proud there means haughty. In other words, I know best. Or I do it myself. I don't need your help. I'll do it myself. That's how God sees it. He sees you as haughty because you've chosen your way over his. All right. So God considers when you do it your way, like Frank Sinatra, that you are haughty. He did it his way. Turning to the flesh is turning to your own way and your own understanding. Okay, 1 Peter 5. Help us, Lord. 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Grace will kick in when you are humble. But if you're going to do it your way, God will resist you. That's what it's saying here. Last week, the Lord said this to me. I think I already told you Sunday. Your medicine is not avoiding something, but it is using my word. How does the world system, the proud, operate? Just the opposite of the way God operates. They're looking for any means and method. That's why you can go and just the grocery store, the pharmacy part of the grocery store, and there's probably hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of aids. Think about it. Big pharma, see? Big pharma. This is anti-God. Big pharma is anti-God. It's the beast system. It's not about you getting hit. It's not about you getting anything from God. It's about keeping you from God. You know why the devil's so mad? I was reading the book, the Pool and the Portal today, and there was a little section in there talking about Satan and how Satan was in an exalted place as a cherubim. And this is what I was reading. I don't know where he was quoting from. I'll have to look. But he was talking about he was actually Jesus' anointed cherub. And you go, so he was so full of himself and his importance, that when he found out about God's creation of man, it made him so angry that God could have ever wanted anything more than him. And he incited a rebellion. That's why he hates us. That's why the angel said, "Who is man that you're mindful of him?" It might have even been Satan himself asked that question. You know? He thought, a mere mortal man is better than me? He was lifted up in pride, and that he hates the man. That's why he targeted Adam and Eve in the garden. And he's targeted every one of his descendants since then. All right, let's keep going here. All right, let me see where I left off. All right, your medicine is not avoiding something, but it is using my word. All right. Gloria Copeland asked God to teach her how to walk in the Spirit and to operate more fully in the supernatural power of God. This is what God said to her. Inconsistency lies your power. All right. A few more scriptures here. Galatians 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's kind of like you get over in the flesh room, it'll cancel out the other. All right, let's turn now to Colossians. This is chapter 1. 121. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Consistency is being single-minded. You know that no matter what, you know that no matter what your stand is to be, okay, that's already said that to you, about if you feel like I can't stand anymore, it's time to tie that knot in that rope and keep on hanging on. Keep on standing, all right? James chapter 1. Verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is an unstable in all of his ways. Now, I wrote down here, I tried to recount the incident. Brother Hagin, I believe he was coming out of Rhema or pulling out of somewhere. And just for a second, he said, I don't have a headache. It's just like it just hit him. And he said, as soon as he said that, it left. He had his mind very disciplined. And so, you know, he was one of these probably the devil didn't mess with a whole lot because of his stand. He knew his stand. He was the one that would say, well, I'd take an aspirin if I need it, but I didn't ever need it. That's what he said. Don't get mad at me. He found something better. He found out what the stand would do. Doctors gave him up to die. I think he said 5 doctors gave him up to die. They said he had to die. But what happened? The word said something different. his grandfather the morning that he got up, based on Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. He come into the breakfast table and his grandfather said, "Has Lazarus arisen?" Yeah, he had. And he never went back to bed. All right, he became so consistent that nothing could attach itself to him. He tells of a time, okay, I already read that to you. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's a discipline of your mind. I had an incident happen just a few days ago and I said, "Lord, what happened there?" He said, "Well, you got to doubting. You got to thinking about what the devil was saying about it, and you were back and forth. That's instability, that double-mindedness, that haughty spirit before a fall. That's what it means to be proud, haughty." I'm thinking, "I'm sorry, Lord. I'm going to work on that. I want to be consistent." Yeah. All right, let's keep going. 1 Peter 1. Verse 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That should the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay. 2 Peter 2, 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So God knows how to deliver you. He's already shown you the way. He's already given you the way. All right, 1 Peter 4, back a little bit. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Yeah. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Yeah. The goal is to keep the devil in flight, maintaining our stand until he runs away. It doesn't say anywhere in the scripture. It doesn't say when you're putting on the armor or when the devil shows up, run away. It says to stand. It's the devil. It says when you resist him, it says he will run away. When you practice this, you'll become disciplined in it, and you will be like Brother Hagin and tell people that you don't run to the world's ways, you do it God's way. This is setting an example for others to follow. You know, so many people, they hear it, but they don't know anybody that ever walks it. So if you don't know anybody that ever walks it, when you see somebody, you know, Brother Hagin had a testimony everywhere he went. When you see somebody that has been healed by the Word of God. I know here a few months back, somebody at work was concerned about Danny about something, and he approached him about it, and Danny just had to set him straight and say, "We don't do that. We don't do that way. We use God's Word." Mm-hmm. They don't have, and they're Christians. They've been that, you know, and they know have no concept of that at all. All right. A lot of people talk it, but there are very few that actually walk it. I want to be able to say what Paul said. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Being an example where you can say, "Well, here, I'll show you what to do. I'll show you exactly what to do. If you'll do what I tell you to do." It's like Brother Hagin, he said, "Now, give me as much time as you give them doctors." He said, "If they tell you to come back Thursday, you come back Thursday.
They tell you to come back Tuesday, you come back Tuesday. They tell you go get this prescription, that prescription, you go and do exactly what they say. You'll sit in their office for hours and never think anything about it. But if God doesn't do it like this, well, that faith stuff don't work. He said, at least give God's word as much time as you give the doctor. All right, two more scriptures. Galatians 4. I'm here to give you your vitamin shot. Bible vitamins. All right, 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar still is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. That's the flesh here. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Which, the one without a husband is the illegitimate one. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Verse 1 of chapter 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What causes the bondage? The back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The double-mindedness. Unstable. Unstable in all his ways. All right. Inconsistency lies your power. This is something that you have to work out, just like I started this off with like an athlete or anybody else. You got to give your time to it. You've got to make it a discipline. And at all costs, you guard your faith. That's why it says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life.